Hi, and welcome to episode number 104 of the weekly Google Cloud Platform podcast. I am Mark Mandel, and I'm here with my colleague, Melanie Warwick.
Yes, it's good to be here.
It's good to be here nice and early in the morning. But this week, we're having a really great conversation with Eric Anderson, talking all about data prep and all about how you can get your messy data clean, especially when you have lots of it.
Yes, he's going to definitely touch on the values of what you can use data prep for. And one of the things he covers is how it can be useful for feature engineering, which is going to be our question at the end of the interview to talk about what is feature engineering. But first, what we want to get to is the cool things of the week. And to start off our cool things of the week, last week we were talking about performance analysis. One thing we want to share is that Google is actually making Intel performance libraries freely available on Google Cloud Platform. The good thing about this is that is actually allowing the Intel Xeon scalable Skylake processors more performant.
Yeah, try saying that three times quickly.
I'll try to say that a lot.
Cool. So I guess if you're doing, this is something outside of my purview, but I guess if you're doing Python-based scientific programming, this seems like the sort of thing that you'd be interested in?
I think so, in terms of what it can be useful for sure. But it's just the idea of being able to make your processors more performant at the end of the day. Like, it's great to have a fast chip, but if you can't actually run it as fast as it should be, then that's a problem.
All right. For our second cool thing of the week, there's actually a couple of articles kind of joined together, starting with an article written by David Mitten. You may recognize that name as the CEO of Server Density. We had them on the podcast, or him specifically on the podcast, episode 69, talking about how they use Google Cloud Platform. He has a really cool article where he refers to it as the hidden cost of cloud. It's a really interesting article talking about basically how if you're moving from, say, something that's probably more of a rented VPC or a VPS, or maybe running your own data centers, the differences in costs that can occur when you're moving to the cloud and how you can mitigate that and basically watch what's happening with that. And what's kind of cool is reading that is we literally just put GA that the export for cloud platform billing, from the export to that's BigQuery, just went GA. So if you want to dig deeper into how your billing is working, especially across products or across projects, this is a really nice tool for doing that. And there's links in the blog post to basically visualize your spend over time with Data Studio. And if you're not familiar with Data Studio, it's a great way to visualize your data that sits inside BigQuery. And there's actually a drop-in demo that basically takes your billing data and drops it straight into Data Studio with some really nice pre-built visualizations so you can see exactly what's going on inside your billing and see what money you're spending and where. And then you can extend it from there depending on how your business is run and your application needs.
This is actually a really great thing to have, considering I know that's a top of mind priority for most companies when they're working with anything around servers. So it's good that they have this type of tool available, or they have this kind of information available. All right, so last thing we wanted to mention was the fact that Kaggle is running a competition where you can basically use TensorFlow for speech recognition. They have 65,000 short sound clips that are multiple people saying 30 different types of words. And the idea is that you, in essence, are going to come up with a model that will help identify what is being said. So that is running for the next 2 months, and it's got a prize of $25,000. And we're going to have a link on our blog that will help take you to where it's at. But I mean, if you just look up Kaggle speech in TensorFlow, you'll easily find it.
This is cool. Kaggle does some great stuff.
I know, they do.
Big fan. Big fan.
If nothing else, even if you're not going to do the challenge, it's kind of great to see the data sets that they have available to play around with and experiment with. I always tell people when they ask me, how do I get started with machine learning, or where do I get data from? And I'm like, go to Kaggle.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Awesome. Why don't we go have a chat with Eric and talk all about data prep?
Sounds good.
Today, I am pleased and delighted to have Eric Anderson, product manager for Cloud Data Prep. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm super keen to hear more about data prep. It's something I haven't personally used a lot, so definitely interested in what it is and what it does. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what do you do at Google, everything about you, your five-year plan, just all the good stuff.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of 5 years, I've been 4 years at Google, all of it on cloud, which is a fairly long time for Google Cloud years. Let's see. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. Still go back probably annually. Spent a little time whitewater rafting there, a little rugby there. But now I just do computers and hang out in the Bay Area.
Awesome. Cool. So data prep, this is a thing. Can you give us like the 30,000 foot view? Like, what is this product? What is it meant to do?
Sure. Anyone who's worked with data has felt the pain of data preparation. We talk a lot about all the interesting things you can do with data, visualization, algorithms, analysis. And usually we talk about it on pretty nice and clean data. But in the real world, there's friction, air resistance, and there's bad data, and it's everywhere. So a data prep focuses on that initial step used to do any kind of data work, which is to get your data in a position in the structure, you know, joined with the proper data sets that you want so that you can then go on and do analysis. So it's kind of a top of the funnel, first of the workflow product.
And when you say data or data set, what does that mean? Does that mean like I'm at home working on my spreadsheet for my taxes, or does that mean something else?
It could, but really we're talking generally about large data sets, what you might define as big data. Presumably these are things that are hard to see and find all the errors just visually. And so, yeah, when you can't see all the data, then data prep might be the thing to help you clean it up.
So I'm trying to understand a little bit more. This is kind of like a filter to basically clean your data. And I understand that concept, but what does it look like to use it? Data is a very generic thing.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look to clean, like, I don't know, phone numbers or to clean like credit card numbers? It's completely different. And there's different algorithms involved with that. What does it mean to clean the data?
Sure. And I'll back up to give you kind of a mental model and also some mental images. You're familiar with spreadsheets, everyone is, and you can see your data.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, right. Oh, so bad. So, no, but good also, so good. So you've got a mental, like a grid of your data in a spreadsheet. But also, some of us may be familiar with like ETL tooling or other type of data tooling with where you would describe the flow and processing steps. In which case, you're not looking at your data at all. You're just looking at the transformations or steps that are done to change your data, the equally valid approaches. But in the case of the latter, you know, the ETL tooling, or when you see a diagram with the transformation steps, it's hard to know exactly what your data looks like at any point in time. You can see what the logic being applied to it, but you don't know if that logic is being applied in the way you wanted, if you're getting the inputs and outputs expected. So what we've done is kept you in kind of the spreadsheet paradigm. So with data prep, you're looking at a grid of your data, but because you can't see all of your data at the same time, we've added additional visual elements to give you the sense of the complete data set. So we sample data, so you're looking at a representative sample. We apply some visual distributions atop each column to give you a sense for the distribution of columns. We also detect type and provide some validation on those types. Again, to give you, while you can't see the whole column, you can see outliers, you can see anomalies using these visual cues.
So you're talking about messy data or cleaning data. Like, what does that mean? I just assume that all data sets are perfect, aren't they?
Sure. I mean, it's not like they're always erroneous. And data sets might be fine for one situation and not so clean or fine for another situation. We're all probably familiar with like somewhat erroneous data, like outliers or anomalies that aren't representative. You can imagine transaction information and people make returns or improper transactions. I'm using like point of sale, for example, information, if you wanted to use that as an example. Not everything that passes through the credit register is something that you want to track perhaps as an analyst. And so, yeah, a part of it might be cleaning and removing those erroneous or anomalies. There might be other things done as part of preparation. Enrichment or joining is fairly obvious and straightforward. You know, you may have, it's very common to have several different data sources that you want to combine into a single fully enriched table. Structuring your data. So you have a single column with a fully defined address, but it's hard to filter on states when they're embedded in a string. And so you might want to parse out a column into several different columns, for example. So you may have structuring steps. Aggregations also common. You know, you have single records perhaps, and you want to aggregate these into daily totals or into hourly totals. These are all things that can be done in data prep.
So all of these steps, though, sound like something that you could write yourself. Is data prep like a library of filters that are useful for common data science, or is it more than that?
Yeah, certainly. So the common alternatives might be SQL. You could write, if this was like stored in a SQL compliant database of sorts, you could apply SQL operations to this. Another alternative common one would be Python or other scripting language. There's some great Python libraries where you can take things as a table or frame of data and apply transformations to it. In both of those cases, again, you're not able to see the data itself, and you're not able to see intermediate data, and you're not able to get a sense for the full data set at one time. There are certain popular patterns I've used myself. I should say, like, data scientists or data analysts will have a cocktail of common queries and or scripts that they'll throw at a new data set. Describe the columns, show me the distributions of each column. So we've kind of packaged all those common tasks into a single view. And in addition to just showing you the view of your data, we can then let you transform it without having to write scripts. So if you're very familiar in Python or SQL, you might be productive. But even then, we find that even Python and SQL experts find themselves really productive in data prep. So yeah, in addition to just viewing your data, you can also create transformations, in some case, no code transformations. There's an interesting, I'll just jump right into how that's possible. We talked about the distributions and the anomaly detection and provide you those visual cues. Selecting those visual cues will select the subset of data that applies, and then data prep will suggest in kind of like real time, likely transformations to apply to that subset. So if we showed you a bunch of states and 10% of those states were not actual states, they were territories of the United States or something, and you select those, we might suggest you remove them, we might suggest you do other parsing steps on them, and then you can choose that transformation. So you've gone from explore and understand my data to remove some anomalies without writing any code. This has just been like reactive gestures to the interface.
So not only is data prep a GUI so that you can visualize your information, there's also some nice machine learning behind the scenes or something like that to basically give you suggestions on ways you could make your data possibly quote-unquote better.
Right, right, yeah. And you know, you're the only judge of better, but we've learned from experience the algorithms learn from experience what is likely to be interesting to you, and we serve you up several options and you pick from those.
Cool. So what does it look like to use data prep? How do you get the data into it or out of it? Because at the end, it really feels like you're basically improving the data. So I see it as a pipe.
Sure. Yeah.
Of like a bigger process. How do you connect it to other things?
The integration points for data prep are through GCS and BigQuery. So we accept all the standard file formats you might expect us to on GCS. And then we accept BigQuery tables. We'd like to expand that over time, but we've actually found that this solves, the 90% use case for GCP users.
Is this like a one-time thing, or is this something that could be put in a pipeline of ongoing streaming data?
The thing we want to solve really well initially is the necessarily the one-time experience, and we're delivering on that, and that's something that's been pretty exciting to us. But as soon as you solve something one time, as an analyst or as a scientists or whoever, most people then want to, they want to schedule that thing to run all the time or check that into production. And so we are in the process of adding those features. Scheduling is soon to arrive to allow you to schedule that execution to happen on some time basis. And then eventually we want to support the ability to programmatically execute those transformations by other means.
Cool. So I was watching a video on data prep and it looks really cool. And now I get a little bit more the idea of like, it really looks like a super powered spreadsheet. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. But also one of the things that I saw was when you click on run job, you see Cloud Data Flow.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between Cloud Data Flow and Cloud Data Prep?
Great. Yeah, great question. We're pretty excited about that relationship. So for those of you who don't know, Data Flow is a massively parallel data processing service and or framework, depending on how you look at it. And so it's very powerful. And it's based on technology we've been developing at Google for a long time, MapReduce, Flume, etc. So to have data flow at your fingertips is awesome. But a lot of people aren't ready to use data flow through its also expressive and powerful APIs. Currently, Java and Python are supported. And data prep, what it allows you to do is to express these things in an intuitive, visual way using data prep. And then you can know that even though I'm having a great spreadsheet experience, that behind the scenes, I'm going to have also an awesome, massively parallel, powerful processing experience. So when you hit run job, we take the logic that you've generated on the sample using either predicted transformations or your own custom transformations. We package that logic and pass it to Dataflow, and Dataflow creates a job that reads from your source and writes to your destination with all the processing logic you defined.
And it feels like once you have that running, Cloud Data Flow, one of the cool things is that you can run it as a batch process, or you can also run it as something that is continuously running. And as soon as you get some input, you get the output on the other side. Is that possible with Cloud Data Prep? Like, you basically define continuously running data flow job, and then you can just send things into the input and get the clean version on the other side?
Yeah, continuously running is something that's never really been done in the frame of data preparation industry, if you want to call it that, or landscape. Data preparation has always been kind of a batch thing. What's neat about where we're at today with data prep, yes, it's batch only today, but it is, you know, because we're running on data flow, we are submitting Beam pipelines, and the Beam programming model allows both batch and streaming. So it'd be a natural evolution for us to go into streaming in the future. And that's something I think would be super exciting. And we've heard some requests from that from our users.
So actually, that probably segues into a nice question. When should a customer choose either data prep or data flow? It sounds like there is crossover there. Streaming seems like an obvious choice because of data flow, but are there other features there that may make someone choose one over the other?
Yeah, sure. So I'll start with some of the obvious, if you want to call them limitations. One way to think about it is that data flow is, it kind of just supports almost anything. It's a programming interface so that you can almost do anything with data flow, even things that maybe you shouldn't do with data flow. Where data prep provides you, it's a constrained, I should describe that we have your transformations create kind of script steps, and we use a human readable script within data prep that then is translated into the Beam SDK. So yeah, because we're using a DSL on Beam, there's certainly we're constrained to the limits of that DSL. Which is fairly expressive, and we actually think is more expressive than SQL. So you should have plenty of room to grow there. But yeah, currently today, for example, you couldn't pass arbitrary code to data prep. For that type of use, you want to bounce out to data flow and do everything there. It is possible to, of course, chain these into a workflow because we're reading and writing from common sources, GCS and BigQuery. You could combine data flow and data prep into sequenced pipelines. But more to the comparison. So yeah, if you prefer a visual environment, if you prefer a human-readable script language, data prep's a great place for you. If you prefer the expressiveness of a programming language, and or maybe some of the like data engineering processes around a programming language, you know, if you want to write unit tests, if you want to write other kind of tests, data flow and a programming language is the right place for you.
Is there any limitation on what sort of data formats data prep can handle? Obviously, you've got BigQuery, but if you said GCS, like
I can
put anything I want into GCS. So we
take like text formats. You know, we're gonna be able to like open most things, but we're limited to a handful of formats in which we understand the structure. So like Avro, CSV, JSON, these are all supported. There's a few others. Actually, Excel files are also supported. We should add sheets to that list, but it's not there yet. And then I was going to mention, like, for example, XML isn't supported, although it's similar to JSON and a semi-structured file format. You'll be able to read XML, but it won't come in as a structured format, like the same way that we do JSON, for example.
Cool. So what I would love to know is if people are interested in data prep or they seem like this is interested, what's a great resource they can go to learn more about it?
Sure. And I should also give you at some point some like where we're at in our kind of timeline and launch and that sort of thing. Resources. So we have a quick start available and docs available. The quick start is like we give you some sample data and suggest some transformations. If you're familiar with the Google Cloud Platform Code Labs, there's actually already a couple set up. Some of them are designed for using data prep in the context of machine learning, which is something we can discuss some. And there's been a couple blogs out there. It's still nascent. I'm going to go ahead and jump into where we're at kind of in our rollout. We announced data prep that we were working on this originally in the spring at Google Cloud Next 2017. And it was then in what we called a private alpha release for some time, or private beta release. And then we opened it up to a public beta just a few weeks ago. So now anybody, you know, all you listening can go find it in the Cloud Console among the other products. What you should look forward to is some additional feature releases and a general availability at some point in the future.
Nice. You mentioned data prep and machine learning.
Yeah.
Machine learning is the hot word. So like, what's the connection there?
Just wanted to add as many buzzwords as possible. Often we think about data preparation in the context of business intelligence or kind of data analyst work, in which case a lot of that work is It can be plumbing, kind of like ETL. It can also be a little more higher level, like you're trying to arrive at some answers and you're preparing a data set for those answers. But the analysis is fairly straightforward using straightforward tools downstream. Data visualization, simple aggregations. In the case of maybe more advanced machine learning and data science, even those that are, you know, very comfortable in Python or whatever common machine learning or data science interface you prefer, we've actually found some people that prefer to jump over to data prep to do their data preparation. So, you know, in a machine learning data science workflow, you're going to take these maybe multiple data sets and you're going to combine them in some way. And then you're going to do some exploration to make sure that you don't have too much noise or anomalous data. And you're also going to do feature engineering. You're going to make some judgment about what you think are the important features, and you're going to put those in unique columns, and then you might normalize those columns, all in preparation for then applying your kind of out-of-the-box algorithms. That upstream work around combining the data set can be done in data prep. The feature engineering work, in fact, actually separating out the important features into unique columns and normalizing them can be done in data prep. If you're familiar with Kaggle, which is this machine learning and data science kind of competition and forum community, one of the big Kaggle users who's won a few contests was super excited about data prep and has been using it in his Kaggle work. So there's some interesting work there. Just to touch on the workflow, these people are probably doing initial work in Python, realizing that they have, you know, some data issues or strange behavior in their algorithms, and they might bounce out to data prep using GCS or BigQuery as the interchange point. And then they can go back to their Python environment, for example, and pick up the new data sets that are cleaned.
Cool. So it seems like we're running out of time just a little bit. But before we do that, we always like to give our guests an opportunity to plug anything that they think is important, or if there's something that we haven't mentioned yet, is there something you want to add to the podcast, make sure it gets in?
Yeah, I should plug that we're really excited. We're really eager to get some feedback on data prep. We've gotten a lot of positive responses, and with that, a bunch of like feature suggestions, use cases we hadn't considered, and that's informing our roadmap. There's a big surface area to data prep. There's a lot of bells, whistles, knobs, and so there's plenty of room to explore and suggest new things and places where we can improve. And we'd love to hear from you.
Quick question: Is there any specific way that people might want to use to provide that feedback to you and the team?
We'd love to hear from you on Stack Overflow. We monitor Stack Overflow. We also are soon to introduce a discussion forum email alias that you can join. In addition to those channels, which are available to anyone, there's common other channels. You can go to the Google Cloud meetups and pass information through channels there.
Cool. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today and chatting to us all about data prep.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric. The great information about data prep and data flow. Now what we want to do is dive into the question of the week.
So we were chatting before about the idea of features and feature engineering in the podcast we did with Eric. And so we were chatting, and I don't know a lot about this space, so I figured I'd ask you, Melanie, about what is the importance of features in regards to machine learning, and why do we need to do feature engineering? Why is that a thing?
So feature engineering has been something that has been a priority to developing models of machine learning, and it's required a lot of work in the past. Particularly, it's used to help drive out or define specific attributes or properties about the data set that doesn't necessarily come across with raw data, and it helps you identify what's more important to help drive the predictive models that you're building. Like I said, it's something that has required a lot of manual labor in the past. It can play a large role in terms of the preparation or lead up to developing models. But with deep learning becoming such a popular thing in the last few years, feature engineering in particular has become something that we see as being automated through deep learning. But the reality is it's not fully automated through deep learning. It's definitely one of those things that is still necessary to do some level of analysis, so to speak. And so it's good that data prep is providing that opportunity to be able to help with the feature engineering process. But yeah, that's what it's useful for. All right. Now, Mark, one other question I'm going to ask for the week is, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And yes, I'm totally asking the Australian in the States, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
What am I doing for Thanksgiving? Spending a lot of time at home, going to catch up with some friends, have some food, drink some wine,
that kind
of thing. What are you up to for Thanksgiving?
Same thing. It's nice to have friends that you can go visit and not have to get on a plane.
Nice. But speaking of getting on a plane, are you going anywhere, speaking at anything over the next couple of months?
In December, I'm going to be going to the NIPS conference, which is this conference that's really focused around the machine learning AI community.
Nice.
What about you?
Yeah, I'll be at the Montreal International Game Summit in December. But other than that, yeah, things are calming down for the year nicely.
Are you going to Montreal? I'm surprised. I didn't know you were going to Montreal. I had no knowledge.
Yeah, I'll keep mentioning it every week. I just want people to come say hello if they happen to listen to the podcast. Awesome. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for joining me for yet another episode of the podcast.
Yes, we managed to pull this one out early in the morning so we can get this for our Thanksgiving period.
Yep. And we'll see you all next week.